But the biggest question that matters is, how is this relevant to my audience right now? Out of all these 10 different things that I can talk about in those warm-up emails, what's the one that my audience is most likely to already kind of be aware of?
Hello, and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We're here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth, and today's guest is Monica Badu. Monica is our in-house copywriting chief and copy coach. She specializes in sales copywriting for online course creators who want to produce copy that speaks to their ideal customer, generates conversions, and makes them feel comfortable about how great the stuff that she's writing is. Now, today we're going to talk about warm-up emails. These are one of the secrets to being able to send two email promotions a month. We're going to cover how to decide on what to cover in them, how to write them, how to link the different emails together, what to use for context, and more. And you're going to understand at the end of this much better how the warm-up emails work and how you can use them in your email promotions. Now, before we start learning from Monica, do you own a course website? If so, I want you to go and check out our webinar. So it's datadrivenmarketing.co/webinar. And you're going to learn all of the tactics, the whole system that we use when we're working with our clients, when we're helping our coaching clients or our done-for-you clients to be able to make more money from their course sales. We have explained all of the tactics. There's 8 tactics, and we cover them all in this webinar. It's about 45 minutes, something like that. It's fast-paced. It's quite silly. And we've just updated it recently to make sure it's the most up-to-date, most accurate version that we can have. And you can go check it out at datadrivenmarketing.co/webinar. Monica, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back, as always.
So when course creators hear about sending out monthly promotions, especially when we talk to them about sending out 2 promotions per month, the main thing that they object to, the main thing that probably the person listening to this right now, the thing that you're hearing, you're thinking about as you're hearing about the idea of sending out 2 email promotions is, that sounds too salesy. So how can people do it without being salesy? How can they do it without messing up their list, without having people unsubscribe?
Well, the secret is the topic of today's podcast episode, and it's the warm-up emails. That's where we do all the heavy lifting and where we make sure that what we're about to sell to the audience makes sense.
Okay, explain a little bit more then. What does that mean? How does that work?
Okay, so when you have promotion, you need to raise your audience's awareness towards the problem your product solves. But on a regular day, your target audience, your potential student has so many things happening that they're probably going to forget that they even subscribe to your email list. So if you send lots of emails, salesy emails, without having that warm-up period, you're going to get all those unsubscribes and hate emails. So the warm-up emails have this role of guiding people into a place where they are ready to listen and to be interested in your solution again. So they raise awareness, they remind people that they do have a problem which they haven't solved, and we also make sure that we show them how that problem, if they don't solve it, is actually impacting other parts of their life, of their career, of their business, even like the world, the entire world, if they don't solve it. And then we have an email that gives them a glimpse of what it would be like to have the solution to that problem. We give them like a little bit of relief. So it's very curiosity based. We don't sell anything to them in those emails. They're very short and sweet and on point, but they do pack a lot of value, because that's where the success of your promotion, and I really, really mean that, that's where the success of your promotion is going to come from. Because if you're not going to be able to draw in your audience with those warm-up emails, they're not going to see your promo email. They're not going to interact with those, because why would they? It's not important to me. So basically, the warm-up emails, in short, they're content-based. They are contextual. They are super relevant to your audience. They don't sell anything. They are connected between each other. And I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. Everyone on your list who never bought the product you're going to promote will be getting them. They really do a good job of showing the audience that you're interested in helping them solve their problem. Those emails position you as a partner, as someone they can trust, as someone who understands them. So I think that would be like in a nutshell.
All right, let's see if I can summarize that. So what we've got is these warm-up emails are in order to get them thinking about the problem again. They're in order to get them remembering that this is a thing that they need to deal with, because they've got 1,000 other things going on in their life. They've forgotten about you. They've forgotten about that problem in particular. They're not focused on whatever, the kids' school day, you know, sports day, the fact that the plumbing just broke, that they need to buy a new washing machine, that they haven't bought the groceries yet, like 1,000 other things that are going on. And they're not thinking about whatever it is that you help them with, training their dog, learning a new language, setting up the home recording studio, doing Google Ads better, whatever it is you're helping with, that's not top of their mind. So you want to get that back into their consciousness. And so these emails, they're not salesy, they're not selling anything, you're not even mentioning anything for sale, but you're getting them thinking about that topic again. Is that right? Have I answered that properly?
It's perfect.
Okay. So what's the starting point here? You mentioned that they're connected between them. How does that work? Is that the right place to start, or is there a different angle we should start with?
Okay, so we use a version of what Russell Brunson calls the soap opera sequence. He uses like 5 to 7 emails we use to engage readers, build rapport, and sell products. We only use 3 emails, and they're only about engaging readers and building rapport. Now, there's a really cool psychological trick we use here, and that's creating open loops. That's why we say the emails are connected. We basically create a journey. So it starts from the problem, and then we build curiosity, we describe the problem, we make the audience feel like we know exactly what's happening in their life. We know that problem because we've had that problem. But we don't just talk about the problem. We tell them, tomorrow we're going to show you how this problem is actually impacting your life, your relationship, your finances, your career. Whatever it is, that specific thing that they might not have been able to connect between them having that problem and that secondary problem happening. So we create that open loop. And then the second email creates a new loop for the third email. And then the third email creates a loop for the first promotion email. They all work together in getting that person ready to receive a sales email. That's why we say they're kind of connected. And we use the problem agitate solution strategy to get them there.
Okay. So our listener is maybe thinking right now, that was a lot to kind of take in terms of how to structure all together. So the idea that the open loops is something that we've talked about a bunch of times before on this podcast. So you might have heard us talk about that. The episode with Quentin Crowe the other day was one of the most recent episodes, I believe. That one covers about this topic as well. Quentin was explaining about that too. It's very, very important. Russell Brunson talks about it. He got it from André Chaperon. André Chaperon got it from like some kind of trashy novels that he used to read. I'm trying to remember what they're called. They're the Jack Reacher books. That's it. So he took it from like that, which is basically already taken it from Hollywood. And, you know, it's a classic storytelling technique is you start something, but you don't finish talking about it immediately. And that way people want to read on. They want to find out, well, wait a minute, what's the answer to that? What happens next? You know, it's like you have a cliffhanger at the end of a TV show. So you got the open loops part of it. Now, the second part that you were talking about there was what loops are you opening and when are you closing them again? And you mentioned problem agitation solution. So could you just cover that part again in terms of what was the loops you were opening and closing in each of those emails?
Okay, so the first email will describe the problem. Let's say my problem right now is that I have a website, like maybe it's an e-com business, I don't know. And I see traffic, but I'm not seeing clicks. My website is leaking money all over the place. I'm not making money. That's the problem. So we describe the problem. Hey, is your website getting so much traffic that you're popping champagnes every day. But when you go and you look into your Shopify dashboard, there are no orders to match that traffic up. Well, that problem can be very frustrating, and it's happening to many other people who own a similar business to you. We know that because it has happened to us, or it has happened to our students. This is common, and these are maybe some of the other symptoms you might see if your website is indeed struggling with this problem. But there's more to it. We're now opening the loop. And there's only so much we can give in one email without making it overwhelming. So tomorrow morning, we're going to share the second part of this, which is about this other topic that might be impacting your overall orders. So don't despair yet. Tomorrow, you'll learn more about this and find out soon how you can actually solve it.
That's, oh my God, Monica, example. I can't wait till tomorrow morning. Quickly, I want the email now. It's too much.
Okay, so, it's so great, tomorrow isn't it? Morning.
Okay, so that's the idea there. The first one is you talk about the problem. You get them thinking, shit, that is something I've got a problem with. You tell them there is a solution. You tell them it is going to be something that can be solved, but you're not telling them what it is yet. And then you tell them you're going to get another email that's going to be solving that. That's the basic concept of it. Okay, cool. About, just give me a kind of like range or ballpark, about how long are do these emails tend to be? Like in words or lines or something that people might be able to kind of visualize?
Maybe like one Google Doc page.
One Google Doc page. Okay. A 12-point font in Calibri, let's say.
I don't know what that is.
Have
like spaces between each sentence to make it super easy for people to scan through, because nobody's going to read every word you have in there. They're going to scan through and they're going to do it like diagonally, most likely. But it's important that what you write is easy to read and understand and relate to. They're going to read the paragraphs that are most interesting to them. Some people might come back to that email later in the day, especially if they find themselves in the problem right now. So for the e-com website owner example, if today was like the end of the month and they're looking at their financial reports and they've just finished, like, I know, paying their employees and paying all the expenses, and their bottom line is basically non-existent, they're going to find themselves exactly in that point where they can listen and they can emotionally relate to the problem.
Then they're more likely to be paying attention to it.
Exactly.
Got it.
Which
okay, cool.
kind of leads me to the next point.
Okay. I just did a word count on our Google Doc that we're using for this podcast, and it's probably a few hundred words. So that's kind of ballpark, something kind of like that. That's not a hard and fast rule. That's just to give you an idea of what kind of thing we're talking about here. You're covering the stuff that Monica basically covered already a few minutes ago about, like, here's the problem. Here's how you might feel. Here's what that causes. Bring it to life a little bit and get that across. If it's like super short, if it's 100 words, fine. You know, it's much, much, much better than not sending this email, right? If you don't find that that's the kind of length of stuff you know how to write, fine. But just have that problem email. Okay. It's the next morning. It's exciting. What is the agitation email people are getting now?
We find something that's big, but they're not aware of. You're basically a detective and a coach and a consultant at the same time. So for that person with the website, maybe we're going to show them that the biggest problem he has, it's not that he thinks he needs more people coming in the website, because a lot of people, that's what they think. If I don't have orders, then it means I don't have enough traffic. So I go back and invest more money in traffic, which again does not convert. So we show them another part of the website that is not optimized. Maybe it's the call to action buttons. Maybe they really suck. Maybe it's the user journey. Maybe it's what happens at checkout. Maybe it's, some one of these things or all three of them. So we talk about that, and we use social proof. We use case studies if we have them. We use industry stats to prove that what we're saying, it's not just us saying it. It's happening to other people, and it's a very proven, it's been tested, and it's a problem that can be solved. But if we don't solve it, it's going to impact our business. And not only that, our well-being. We won't be sleeping that well at night. We won't be able to afford holidays. We won't be able to afford the things we want. But we do this in a way that's very elegant. We don't point the finger at the person who's reading this saying, you suck. This is your fault. No, this is not your fault. How can you know all of this? It's impossible for one person to know everything about this business. You got into this because you wanted financial freedom, but then you discovered that you need to wear 10,000 different hats. So where do you start in fixing your website right now? What's the first thing you should be doing if you want to get more orders within the next 72 hours? The next email is going to give you the quickest hack you can implement right now to improve the amount of people that go to your checkout, or to make your products irresistible, or to fix this problem we've been talking about today. And then the third email, the solution email, gives them a small hack. Maybe the size of the buttons is awful. Maybe we've had experience with that. And we tested that a different color can actually help people see the call to action button and click more. Maybe the problem was that the website was not optimized for mobile. We teach them how to do that in a very like short glance. It kind of depends on the audience and the context that we're going to choose for those warm-up emails. But that's how it kind of works. It steps up. Every email is a step forward towards getting to the point where it's like, okay, I want to hear about what you have to say. And in that third warm-up email, towards the end, we tell them, we have like the final open loop. It's like, so today you learned how to fix your problem by using this quick hack. It's been used by so many people in your industry and the results have been amazing. And it's not just this hack. You can implement 10 other different tactics that are going to help your website convert more. And if you're ready to see how that can be possible, even for a small business like yours, please open tomorrow's email. I'm going to reveal exactly how 10,000 other website owners were able to improve their click-through rate so they can earn more with their website. This is kind of inspired by recent warm-up secrets I've just written.
Okay.
Like, I'm still in that mind. But the same can be applied for a language course. So tomorrow, I'm going to show you how 10,000 students were able to learn the Korean alphabet in 3 hours or less. It's not rocket science and it's not going to be difficult. And I promise you don't need to buy neural implants to make this work. Just open tomorrow's email. It's very important.
Okay, so let's back up again. So we had the problem email. The problem email was covering reminder of the fact that this problem exists, reminder of the fact that the problem affects them, reminder of the fact that like how their life is affected by that. And then saying, and tomorrow we're going to be covering like how to start to deal with that. That I believe, was that the ending of the first one? Yeah. No.
Sort of, yeah.
Go on, tell me again.
No, it's fine. It's like tomorrow we're going to show you, we're going to reveal a different aspect of your business that you thought was working, but was not working.
Got
or
it. Yeah.
It's not very specific. I can't make it very specific because it can vary very much depending on audience, problem, context, and all of that.
Yeah, we can use examples of like, okay, it could be this, for example. Okay, the agitation area is where we're starting to talk about, okay, this is the detective part. It's like, this is the actual problem part. You thought that the problem, in the case we talked through, the e-commerce business, you thought that the problem was traffic. But actually, the problem is conversions. And this is a place where you're currently losing people at the moment. You're not getting people, whatever it is, in, you know, probably your checkout is not converting well enough, or people aren't clicking to add to cart, or whatever the problem is likely to be that we think is their biggest. And we're looking here for like just one problem out of many, or are we trying to diagnose like, you know, overall, your website isn't converting because you've got these eight things, or are we just talking about one there?
Depends on the angle of the promotion. In one promotion, you can have an agitation email that lists everything that's wrong with the website, while in another promotion, you can just talk about one thing.
Okay, and how would someone decide which one? It depends what course they're selling at the end, what they want people focused on.
It depends on what course they're selling, and it also depends on what else is happening in like the industry that mm-hmm. might be relevant to the reader. So let's say that Shopify just launched an industry report about how bad checkout actually are. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then we can use that industry data to make our warm-up emails relevant. And we talk about the worst possible checkout experiences and how that's a problem he doesn't even know he has. And it's actually why his website is not seeing orders.
Okay, so we're looking for something overall. Our starting point is looking for something overall that's going on, maybe in the industry, maybe in the news, that we can like link into, that people might have heard about, or that's being announced by a big influencer like Shopify that we can connect to. We then take that and we talk about that, the overall problem they've got in their life. We link it down to the problem that they've got in their, particularly in this case, the e-commerce site. Then the agitation one, we start to get into the details of like, right, it's your checkout that's really the problem here. Here's either one thing that's wrong with it, or here's eight things that's wrong with it, or whatever it is that we're kind of listing out. And then at the end of that one, we're saying in tomorrow's email, we're going to cover one tip for something that you can do, one hack that you can quickly do to improve conversions. Cool. Okay. And then in the solution email, are we just giving them that? Are we focusing on just explaining that hack, or was there more to that email?
It depends on how much granular you want to become and how aware your audience is of the actual tactic. If it's the first time they've ever heard of, I don't know, conversion rate optimization, you might want to prepare them and explain what that is. If they're not used to using industry lingo, like CTR, what is that? Explain what that is. If, on the other hand, your audience is made of, I don't know, six-figure Shopify owners, they probably have done a lot of CRO already, and they're looking for more advanced solutions, maybe even case studies. But in general, just try to keep it simple. I suggest like focus on one thing. Here's how we improved checkout conversion by 5% in just like 5 minutes. And in that email, you explain exactly what you did. You show the numbers and then you tell them, see, it only takes like 5 minutes. All you have to do is this. Usually, and this is very important, throughout these warm-up emails, we don't include links to other websites. We don't include links to blog posts or videos unless they actually help us tell the story. But we avoid sending people to YouTube. We avoid sending people to other people's websites. We avoid even sending people to Facebook, because if they're out of the context, if they're out of your emails, they're going to forget. They're going to get distracted. And ideally, after they interact with your content, they don't go into like the big void of internet right then and now. At least they have maybe a few moments that your brain can remember, like integrate the message they just received. They kind of need a breather. And this is why the warm-up emails I write have some kind of call to action that asks them to stay a little bit more with me. Sometimes I ask them to reply to the email so they can answer to a question I have, or so they can share about the problem they're experiencing. Like, what's your checkout abandonment rate? Do you know that? Reply to this email. Let's get the conversation started. So that way it gives the brain space to integrate what they've just learned in that email. And it's kind of put in a box. It's like, okay, now I know this thing and it's from this guy. Cool. And he says there's going to be more coming. Cool. So all of this lives in a box right now, instead of kind of all over the place and making you feel more overwhelmed than kind of relieved that the problem you're having has a potential solution.
Got it. Okay. And just to back up, for those people who don't know the acronyms that Monica was using earlier, who maybe aren't a six-figure Shopify website owner, CTR is click-through rate. And it means how many people from one step, that what percentage of people from one step click through to the next step. So for example, from your email to your website, from your website to your sales page, from your sales page to the checkout page. That's the CTR click-through rate. The other one she said was CRO, which is conversion rate optimization. So that is where you improve the conversion rate of a sales funnel, which is basically a lot of what we do. Okay, so we've had the problem, agitation, and solution emails. We've got the overall idea of what kind of thing goes in there. We know about what length they should be, a few hundred words. The problem one is about like reminding them that the problem exists, talking about it, bring it to life, open the loop about the fact that we're going to talk tomorrow about like what is causing that problem. The agitation one is where we're a detective. We're digging into like, okay, what is it that's causing that problem? For example, it's because your conversion rate here sucks, or because if you're, you know, the problem was that you've got a dog who doesn't behave properly. You're getting into like, okay, it's because you behave this way at home, or because you aren't being the alpha here, or because you're not training them properly, or whatever it is. And then you're opening a loop saying, and tomorrow you're going to hear about what to do about it, one way to be able to deal with it. And in that one, you've got some kind of a solution for them, some kind of a hack, a tip, a thing that they can do. And you're opening the loop at the end of that one about, here's how you're going to be able to deal with this problem fully. And you're going to hear about how 10,000 other e-commerce business owners, about how 3,000 other dog owners, about whatever the number is and the problem is, have been able to deal with this. That's the contents of the emails. The context was a really interesting part there. So we talked about what you could use as context. And this is a really big deal, isn't it? You've told me before, I remember it was an email promotion you were doing for, I think it might have been someone in the spirituality space. And I remember you saying to me that you'd really learn how big of a deal the context is when you're putting these things together. So what can people use? Give people some ideas of what they can use as context here.
Anything like your birthday, your mom's birthday, the first radio program that went on air. Anything can be used for context. National holidays, national awareness holidays, like, I know, stress awareness month, sleep day, cookie day, hug a friend day, meditation day that exists as well. Cool. Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, any kind of industry data from a source that your audience relates to. I think earlier in this year, I ran a promotion based on a report from the American Association of Psychology, I think. And it was like, what are people going to struggle with throughout this year? I also use data about what resolutions people are making or are most likely to forget about by February. I use that as well. You can talk about cultural events. So for instance, language course creators can use lots of that. So here's how people are celebrating the coming of summer in Korea. Here's what they're doing. By the way, I learned that they're going during the night and they're having picnics in parks and on public beaches, which is something very interesting because in the US and in the Western part of the world, you're not gonna see that. So that's a cultural kind of event you can talk about in your emails on the first day of summer.
So if context can be anything, so you've got something that you've chosen, whether it's meditation day or the Koreans are starting to go out to the parks at night or whatever it is. If it's such a big deal, how can it be anything? How does that work? Try and explain to everybody like why they need this.
So obviously you have like 10 different ways to talk about something. But the biggest question that matters is how is this relevant to my audience right now? Out of all these 10 different things that I can talk about in those warm-up emails, what's the one that my audience is most likely to already kind of be aware of? Mm-hmm. Who else are they listening to for something similar? And what are those people talking about? So for instance, if we're going to talk about, I know, stress, personal development and spirituality, whatever. April is Stress Awareness Month. And from that, we can go granular because for some people, stress comes from very specific things like having to do your taxes in the US. If you are a business owner, then you are most likely very stressed right now because you have to do those damn things and you're looking at your profit and you're looking at your budget and you're kind of overwhelmed. Now, it kind of depends. Are you big company, or you are a small company? You're a solopreneur, or you have somebody else helping you with that? If that's the case, you make sure that your warm-up emails talk about the specific things. If you're a mom, you're stressed regardless of the month. But some moments are worse than others, and you'll be more aware of. So say it's the holiday season. You have Thanksgiving. If you're hosting or if you're traveling with kids, that's a very stressful situation for you, whether you are aware of it or not. But if you use the problem email to describe, hey, it's kind of like Thanksgiving is next week. Are you feeling more stressed than usual? Do you snap at your spouse or your kids more often? Where chances are you're suffering from a case of Thanksgiving stress. It's happening to moms all over the US right now, whether they have young kids, preschoolers, or whatever. So let's navigate this stressful time together. How can we make sure that our stress doesn't go into our experience, doesn't ruin Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever for everybody else? So we kind of look at what else is happening. Who else is talking about the same problem to your same audience? If you look at like Google News, you'll see exactly what's happening if you just go like for a search, stressed moms. Last year, I actually wrote a warm-up email that started from a piece of news about, I know, a couple of moms who went outside during a night and they just screamed because they were overwhelmed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was like a collective scream, something like that. And I think the email was like, can you hear the collective scream or something like that? I used the, like in January, I think humanity has passed like the 8 billion mark of how many people we are. I used that to start a warm-up email sequence that I think talked about how this is like a problem and an opportunity as well. And it was going to an audience who is kind of thinking about the future, but in very like negative terms. So I used that context to kind of say, but the future can be changed. We're 8 billion. That means it's like 8 billion chances for the future to be different. Don't give up just yet, something like that. So the context can be anything, but again, it has to be searched. You need to spend some time figuring out of the 10 different things you can talk about, what's the one my audience is most likely to be aware of? Sometimes you're not going to have anything. After like 2-3 years doing this, I honestly sometimes can't find anything that makes sense. Even when I go to like social media and I look for hashtags or for comments or whatever. So I just try to look at the course. What does the course help with? Well, if it helps with 10 different things, okay, let's talk about one of those. And sometimes you kind of need to take a risk and see how it will go. We like a general topic rather than something that's contextual right now for the audience. So try to answer to what is relevant to my audience right now. What else is happening for this target audience at this time of the year, month that I can tap into? And who else are they listening to and what are they saying? Like, that's the research you need for the first warm-up email.
Okay, so what we're looking for is something that we've got a course about some topic. Maybe it's about stress relief, like we're talking about now, right? You know, it's meditation or it's stress relief, something like that. We want to then tie that back to something that's going on in the news or in their life or in the world. We start to look for, well, what could that be? And we're kind of brainstorming at this point. No idea is a bad idea. Make a list of lots of different angles that it could be. And it could be historic dates, seasonal events, holidays, news, industry data, celebrities and their birthdays, anything that you can kind of connect, anything that your audience is likely to know about or have like affect their life. You know, if it's, let's say they are a demographic that is likely to be Beyonce fans, and you could be talking about Beyonce, but if they've never heard of Beyonce and they've never even listened to it, like, then don't even fucking mention it. You know, like, find something that connects with them, right? And so could you give us an example of this, like with one, you kind of talked about the stress side of things. Could you give us an example of one that you've done recently for a client?
Yeah, sure. So April is Stress Awareness Month in the US. And just as I said, someone who is struggling with this, even if they can't directly correlate the problem they have with stress being the cause, they are still super aware of the fact that stress exists, and it's like a modern affliction. It impacts us all. Now, in the US, usually when you have like a Stress Awareness Month, or I know, Sleep Awareness Month, whatever, there are many organizations, some are even governmental, that talk about this. So chances are that your audience has already been exposed to some kind of stress awareness message on their day-to-day life. Because they maybe listen to a podcast, they go to Facebook, social media, they kind of see some stuff. A lot of what we see is not recorded like consciously. So when you go outside and you do your commute, you're going to see ads. Some ads talk about stress. You're going to hear reminders about this, maybe at work, like that hang on puppy or whatever. So there are many messages that come towards your audience's mind when you have like a big event like this, of Stress Awareness Month. Now, for this client, the problem email was talking about, hey, it's Stress Awareness Month in the US. What does that actually mean to you? Well, let's talk about it. Over the next few days, I'm going to share a few emails that are going to show you other signs of stress and how you can deal with it. And then we take them from what's actually happening right now. Like, you're reading this email, or you woke up in the morning, you went to your work. From the moment you woke up to the moment you are reading this message, you already experienced several episodes of stress. But your brain can't tell anymore how bad that is. So every single day, every single hour of our life, we are kind of living in stress. And that's like the first email. We describe the problem, the modern human problem with stress. And then we tell them, it goes beyond yourself. We often believe that the problems we have are just our own. And if we try our best to contain them, they're not going to spill out into the world. They're not going to impact our relationships, our marriage, our, performance at work. But it actually goes beyond that. It actually, what we do, how we regulate our stress impacts the world itself. And then the second day, it was actually Earth Day. So I talked about how the coping mechanisms we use to regulate from stress are actually damaging the world. So for instance, one of the most common modern coping mechanisms is to indulge in like binge shopping. So all of that leaves a footprint, carbon footprint. It actually creates more problems. So if you go to the root of why you're stressed, which is going to be like coming soon, you could actually reduce the stress you have and find healthier ways to cope with it, so that it doesn't go beyond, yourself or something like that. And then the third email, it gave them like a glimpse of what they can do to reduce stress. And if I remember correctly, I think it was like a couple of different things. And one of them was meditations. And that led into a full-on meditation promo. The first promo email was called My Favorite Tools to Reduce Stress, and an 85% discount. The second email talked about the logical approach into why you can use meditation to reduce stress, and it positioned it as a stress relief treatment that goes back like thousands of years. And then I also talked about like what are the major symptoms of stress, and I used industry data that said that 1 in 3 adults don't get enough sleep. Read if you're one of them. And then I used like meditation can help. And interestingly, that was the 8th time we promoted this meditation bundle. And this stress promo generated the second best historical results for this type of product for us. So it was very interesting to see.
Do you have any idea about how much revenue that brought in? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
It was 24K, $24,000 from a $27 product.
Nice. That's great. $24,000. Beautiful. Okay. Right. We've covered a lot today, really digging into the warm-up emails, which is one part of your overall email promotions, which is one part of your overall strategy for how you can increase your revenue with your course sales. Hopefully that's been incredibly useful. I hope you found that really helpful. If you want to know the overall model, like what's all the steps you need to, what's the 8 steps you need to have in place, then go watch that webinar that I mentioned at the beginning, datadrivenmarketing.co/webinar. If you've heard this and you're like, I'm sold, I need Monica on my team. I need Monica helping me to be able to figure out what emails am I writing? What context have I got? How do I structure it? Whatever. Then we have coaching calls with Monica every week available for our clients. Our whole program is payment on results only. So you don't pay anything until you're making more money. You only pay based on an increase in the revenue that you get. If you are interested and you want to talk to us about that and get Monica helping you with your emails, then go to datadrivenmarketing.co and click on the book a call button. And you're going to be able to book a call with someone from my team. They're going to check if you're a good fit. Mostly this, our program is designed for people who are six figure online course business owners, or if you're selling info products as well. If that's not you, you can go there and still fill in the form and check, because there's some other people who get through if you've got a big audience, but mostly that's kind of who we normally work with. If that is you, then I'd totally encourage you to go do that. It'll speed things up a lot for you. Monica, thanks so much today for sharing all of this and going into so much detail with us and helping our audience so much, helping our listeners. Thank you, dear listener, as always, the most for listening in, and I hope this has been great for you. And we will see you next time.